tonight to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. I'd like to read verse 25 and then verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verses 25 and verse 42. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Verse 42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." This is the seventh message in the series, being the church that people need. Overall, we've seen that in order to be the church that people need, there must be a maintaining of the distinction that God has given to his churches. In other words, the church must never become the world under any circumstances. With that being said, we'd like to speak this evening. There must be a maintaining of biblical consistency if we're going to be the church that people need. Consistency speaks of that which is constant, that which is regular, steadiness, dependability, reliability. The Lord's churches, of course, are put here to do the Lord's business, to do the Lord's business the Lord's way. And they ought to be consistent in doing the Lord's business. There never ought to be any wavering doing the business of the Lord. And as the church goes through the process of time and through the various circumstances that a church will experience, they must, with regularity, they must with steadiness be found doing, again, the Lord's business, the Lord's way. God's people and the lost world ought to be able to depend and rely upon the Lord's church to be doing the Lord's business as usual, no matter what. No matter what happens, the Lord's church is to just continue to do the Lord's business as usual. The Jerusalem church in the book of Acts serves as an example of this consistency that we want to speak upon this evening. And the verses that we read leading up to this, back in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John healing a lame man in the temple. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 11, we see them in the temple at Solomon's porch. Then in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Peter is seen speaking to the people. The people he is speaking to are those who were curious about the miracle of the lame man being healed. And he preaches to them. We see that there in Acts chapter 4. And then in Acts chapter, beginning with verse 5, we see that Peter and John, verse 3, that they are arrested. Peter and John are arrested for preaching the word of God. They are then brought before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 7 we read, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this?" That is, where do you get your authority to do what you've done? By what name, by what power? In verse 10, they answer, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And if you go to verse 18, the Sanhedrin calls Peter, James, and John, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak. That is, we can't help ourselves. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they tell Peter and John, don't go back there. Do not preach. Do not teach. Do not mention the name of Christ again. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, they let Peter and John go, and they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And we see the people there praising the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, we see them back in Solomon's porch. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And then in verses 17 through verse 19, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So the Lord, they're cast into prison. The Lord sets them free, tells them, you go back to the temple and you preach Jesus Christ. Again, the Sanhedrin has commanded them not to do so. And then in verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison, they're standing in the temple, and they are teaching the people. They are back in the temple, and they are doing the very thing that you commanded them not to do. This man comes and he says, you know those men whom you warned, whom you commanded not to preach Jesus Christ? Those men that you arrested? Those men that you punished? Well, they have escaped, and those very same men are right back in the same place, doing the same things, preaching the same message. That's consistency. And a church, if it's going to continue to be what people need, must be the same people in the same place, doing the same things, preaching the same message. That must always be so. Then notice verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So again they give command, they beat them, they let them go. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Over and over again, under very trying, under very difficult circumstances, and in the face of fierce hostility and opposition, we see the same people in the same place doing the same thing, preaching the same message. They could not be deterred. They could not be distracted. They were consistently doing what God had told them to do. And if we are going to be the church that people need, then we, just like these apostles, need to be the same people in the same place, doing the same thing, preaching the same message. And we see that these apostles that we have read of continued to do what God had commanded them to do in spite of all the warnings, in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the threatenings, in spite of the beatings, in spite of the inconveniences. They just kept on doing what God would have them to do. They were consistent. They were consistent. And I believe it got to the point where even the Sanhedrin began to realize, we can't stop these people. There's nothing we can do. They're going to continue to preach this name of Jesus. Now, if any of the Lord's churches who have been around for a few years, if they were to consider their church history, they would find that through the years, there were some people who continued in the same place, doing the same thing over and over and over again, listening to and preaching the same message, no matter what. And that's how you continue to be the church that people need. Consider tonight some characteristics of these apostles who would not be moved from doing things God's way. There are many things that we can gather from these individuals, but we just want to consider the most obvious. They no doubt were a people of conviction. What they believed was more than an opinion to them. What they believed was more than a preference. What they believed was more than just some conceived idea that they had. What they had was a deep-seated belief. They firmly believed that what they knew was the absolute truth, and that what they knew was what every man and woman, boy and girl needed. And therefore, they could not be silenced. Because in their hearts and minds, they knew that what they believed was true. They knew that. It was a conviction. It was something that had a firm grip upon their hearts. These were men who did not just merely have a firm grip on the truth. I want you to know the truth had a firm grip upon them. Amen. It had a firm grip upon their hearts. It had a firm grip upon their minds. It had a firm grip upon their lives. They had a conviction. They had a conviction of heart. In other words, they had something that was worth living for. They had something that was worth suffering for. They had something that was worth dying for. And that's why every day they were the same people in the same place doing the same thing, preaching the same message. Amen. They were consistent. That's what we need today. We need that consistency. What you and I say we believe, is it not worth living for? Is it not worth suffering for? And is it not worth dying for? That's a conviction. That's a conviction. Again, a lot of people will say, oh, I would die for such and such, but the problem is they're not willing to live. We must be willing to live for the truth. Suffer for the truth. Die for the truth. The truth must have a firm grip upon us, upon our lives. And this was the case with the apostles. And therefore, no matter what happened, no matter what changes took place all around them, no matter what others thought, no matter what others practiced, no matter what the authorities said, none of that mattered. They continued to be the same people in the same place, doing the same things, preaching the same message. There was consistency. And anybody who watched these men, after a while, you knew what they were going to do because they were consistent. And the world ought to be, even the lost world that knows anything about us, they ought to know. They may say, I don't agree with them, but I guarantee you on Sundays and Wednesdays, there they are, the same people in the same place doing the same thing, preaching the same message. That's consistency. They were also a people of great love. No doubt they loved their country. No doubt they loved their homes. No doubt they love their families and their friends. But they love the Lord and they love the truth more than any of those things. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 5 verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. You see, those two verses declare this truth. The Lord was the priority in their life. Doing God's business was the number one priority in their life. And they were willing to risk everything to be in the will of the Lord. Willing to risk everything. And a church, we must be willing to risk everything just to be in the will of the Lord. They also were a people who were not governed by the world's principles. They were not governed by the world's standards, but by God's precepts, by God's command. They did not allow the secular world, nor did they allow the religious world to determine what they believed and what they practiced. They refused to be controlled by the secular. They refused to be controlled by the religious world. They refused to be controlled and to buckle under their circumstances. No matter what direction the world took, they continued to be the same people in the same place, doing the same thing, preaching the same message. They were simply governed by what God had told them to do. We see also that they were a people to whom God and the truth was very real to them. This wasn't something that they could just take or leave. God was real to them. Truth was real to them. The blessings of salvation were real to them. And therefore, no matter what happened, they just continued doing the same thing, day in and day out. As a result of all of this, they were a people that were consistent. They were a people of constancy. They were not on again, off again. They were not hot one day and then cold the next. Up one day, down the next. They were just doing the same thing every single day. Daily, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They did not sit back and wait and see what anybody else was going to do. It didn't matter to them, because they knew what God had told them to do. They didn't sit back and wait to see what anybody else believed. They didn't take an opinion poll. They didn't see which way the wind was blowing. They simply did what God told them to do. And there is something drastically wrong with any church that takes a poll, that takes a survey, and to see what people want. There's something drastically wrong with that. We're not here to give people what they want. We're here to give people what they need. And what they need is the truth. Well, they don't like the truth. It doesn't change the fact. That's what they need. We're not here to tickle the world's ears. We're not here to please the world. We're here to please God. We're here to do God's business, God's way. These individuals, this church, they were firm. They were steadfast. They were resolute. They were determined. They were very decided. They were adamant. They were unwavering. They were unbending. They were committed to the Lord. Now, all of those things are considered to be awful today by the religious world. If you're firm and steadfast and resolute and determined and decided and adamant and unwavering in the things of God, you're out of touch as far as the world is concerned. You're uncaring. But this is what God expects us to be. And we see that threats and inconveniences and persecutions could not move them. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Book of Acts, chapter 20. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. In verse 22, he tells them his plan. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." That is, I have to do this. God's leading me to do this. "Not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." You're saying, "I don't know exactly what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem, but I do know this. The Spirit of God has told me that there will be imprisonments and there will be afflictions for me." But then he says in verse 24, "But none of these things," that is bonds and afflictions, "move me, These things do not deter me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We see these apostles could not be moved. We see that Paul was not moved, which leads us to ask the question of ourselves, what does it take to move us from the things of God? What does it take to deter us from the things of God? We need to be a people that will not be moved, that will not be moved but will remain firm. We need to be a people that will not give in to the world. Because I promise you tonight, the world is not interested in you giving in just one area. You give in one area, they're going to want two and three and four. Where does it stop? It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Look at individuals' lives. Look at some churches. It does not stop. Therefore, we simply must not give in to the world's ways. Must not adapt to the world's ways. But we must simply cleave to the Lord. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Notice verses 7 and verse 8. God's people have always been called upon to be steadfast, that ye come not among these nations, that ye come not among these nations. You do not give in to them. You do not adapt to their ways. These that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Cleave. Hold on to the Lord your God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. That is, examine all things. Examine what is preached. And if you find it to be true, hold fast. Hold firmly. Get a grip. Do not let go of that which is good. No matter what happens, no matter how many threats there are, no matter how many deaths there might be, you hold on to the truth. That's consistency. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word, that is, whether by the spoken word or our epistle or our writings. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Whatever truth you have, hold it firmly. You do not let go. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said, be ye steadfast. That is, be relentless. Be unchanging. Be unwavering. Be uncompromising. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. That means that you are not affected by opposition. You are not affected by obstacles. Again, Peter and John, they were beaten. They were let go, and then they went out and did the very thing they were beaten for. They were unmovable. That is, they were not affected by the threats. They were not affected by the opposition. And I'm afraid today that many are scared to death of what the government might do. Does it really matter? I mean, is it going to change anything? I realize it could change our lives, but does it change our mission? Not one iota. It does not change doing God's business. People say, well, you know, in years to come, we might not be able to do this. What are you saying? Are you saying that if there's a threat, you're going to stop? Or are we going to be the same people in the same place, doing the same thing, preaching the same message? What if they do come and say, you're no longer allowed to meet? Will we be the very next Sunday the same people in the same place doing the same thing, preaching the same message? That's consistency. And this church had that consistency. Galatians 5 verse 1, Paul said to the churches of Galatia, stand. Stand. That is, be situated, remain, stand fast. That is, stand firm, constant, and unswerving. To the Philippians, he said, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The Word of God lays down in no uncertain terms the mission of His churches. We know what our individual obligations are. And we know what our church obligations are collectively. And if we're going to continue to be the church that people need, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what others are doing, we have to be like these apostles, just doing the same thing over and over and over again. You think about those who've gone away. Think about those who have gone away. Some have been gone 5 years, some 10, some 20. What if they came back after 5 years? What if they came back after 10 years? What if they came back after 20 years? Would they still hear the same thing? They ought to. They ought to expect that. You know, every time there's a new pastor, some who have gone away, they'll show up. You know why? Because they want to see if things are going to be different. Maybe this guy won't preach such and such. Maybe this guy will do it a little differently. Maybe I'll like him. And they usually last a week or two. And they find out it's the same people in the same place doing the same thing, preaching the same message. Amen. That's exactly what it ought to be. And when people go away and they come back 10 years from now, they ought to say, well, look around. You know, that's the same church it was 10 years ago when I left. Some of the people have gotten older. Some may have passed on. Some new ones may have come in. But they're still doing the same thing. Still preaching the same message. Still singing the same songs. Still doing the Lord's business. And they may go away angry. But we ought to thank God that it's so. That there are places, there are those of the Lord's churches that you'll be able to go to if the Lord doesn't come 20 years from now, and they'll still be doing the same things. Still preaching the same message. And for the sake of this church, for the sake of future generations, for the sake of the truth, and for the sake of the Lord's glory, we must continue to do the same things, preaching the same message. And when these little ones grow up, 20 years from now, they'll find out, you know, it's the same church they grew up in. They haven't changed. They're still preaching the same message. They may not like it. We pray that they will, but they may not. But that it would be able to be said, those people do the same things every Sunday. Amen. I want to do the same things every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and any other time that we meet. I don't want people to come in here wondering, well, I wonder what they're going to do this week. They know. They know that there's going to be singing of the old songs. There's going to be singing of scriptural songs. And there's going to be preaching from God's Word. And if they don't like that, there's plenty other places that they can go. They don't need to stay here and try to change us. There's plenty of places that will meet there once. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand.